Our first reading this morning comes from the Revelation to John, the first chapter. Listen for the word of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sin by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Here ends the first reading.
From the Gospel of John. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him." The word of the Lord. Today is the last Sunday of the Christian year, traditionally known as the Festival of Christ the King. It is the day to proclaim the reign of Christ as Lord of all creation. We end the church year on this high note before we turn to the season of Advent, of waiting and preparing for the coming of Jesus again. In observance of Christ the King, our scripture from John's Gospel calls us to stand in the presence of the powers of this world, in the company of Pilate, who represents a very earthly dominion of power, of civil rule and military might, and in the company of Jesus, who represents a different kind of kingship altogether. Pilate asked Jesus questions about what kind of power he represents. "Are you the king of the Jews? What have you done? So you are a king." Jesus responds in his own way to each of these questions, saying, "My kingdom is not from this world." With these two very different kinds of rulers standing head to head and toe to toe, Jesus himself reminds us why he was born. So on this Sunday, just before Advent, we remember that long before there was a praetorium, there was a manger. Long before there was a grown man on trial, there was a baby. Long before there was an angry chorus shouting, "Crucify him," there was a heavenly chorus singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace." Long before there was a cross, there were gifts fit for a king. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus' birth and his death come together in one word, truth. For on the day of his death, Jesus recalls why he was born. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Then Pilate asked that famous question that echoes down the corridors of time. What is truth? It's a complicated question because there are absolute truth claims, and then there are countless relative truths. It is the question that hovers over the whole world today amid the threats of extreme violence and the explosions of insidious forms of warfare. University professor and author of When Religion Becomes Evil, Charles Kimball says that adherence to absolute truth claims is one of the key signs that religion has become corrupted to devastating results and to which we have become daily witnesses of late. Also, the postmodern skepticism of our culture resist certainty of any kind, claiming that all truth is relative, so that my truth will differ from your truth. In other words, there is no absolute truth. Now, Pilate probably had a decent Roman education, perhaps some Aristotle and Plato, a dash of the Roman philosophers and poets mixed in. His idea of truth would have been found in such philosophical, even religious ideas with some empirical evidence given as proof. Pilate's question to Jesus then was probably intended to probe this kind of truth, the philosophical notion about what we think to be true. But there is another kind of truth, that is, what you believe to be true. Jesus answers Pilate's question by pointing to that other kind of truth that is embodied in life and enacted in the living of our days. For at the far end of Pilate's question, what is truth? Jesus just stands there. He says not one word, as if to say, I am the truth. Jesus is saying to the Roman governor who rules by power and might, if you want to know what the truth is, then look at my life. One biblical commentary on this text points out that we have to sympathize with Pilate. He was not in an easy situation. He was a Roman politician far from home, set down in a strange culture. The distance from Rome itself was a problem. Transportation and communication were not easy. The food and the language weren't what they were accustomed to, nor were the people with their extraordinary religious customs. Anyone who ever gets caught up in the whirlwind of life in a foreign country begins to wonder about the nature of truth, and Pilate was no exception. The Jews said there was one God. Pilate was accustomed to acknowledging many gods. The Jews had their strict laws and customs from their God. Pilate's laws came from the state. The Jews kept to themselves to protect the purity of their race. Pilate had become cosmopolitan, adapting to the scene wherever he was sent. It is no wonder that when he became unintentionally involved in the trial of Jesus, which he regarded as a Jewish matter, he was puzzled and asked, "What is truth?" We do not really know much about Pilate, except that he ruled in Judea from 26 to 36 AD. History has given him mixed reviews. Jewish writers of the first century were not favorable. The historian Josephus attributed to Pilate robbery, murder, and inhumanity as he described his atrocities and blunders. He wrote that Pilate was called back to Rome because of excessive cruelty, which was an extraordinary charge for a Roman military man. Pilate's actions against Jesus is one of the few gospel details recorded in ancient non-Christian reports. The Roman Tacitus recorded that Christ had been executed in Tiberius' reign by the procurator of Judea, Pontius Pilate. Christians certainly did not uphold Pilate as a hero, but our tradition has been fairly gentle with him. The Gospels portray Pilate as a man who was caught in a bad situation. Pilate tried to appease the crowds by having Jesus scourged and mocked. He even offered to release Jesus to no avail. He ended up giving in to the religious authorities who wanted Jesus crucified. But the tendency to be gentle with Pilate really got started in the first century after Christ's death, probably all mixed up with a lot of anti-Semitism. An early church leader, Tertullian, who lived from 160 to 225, said he thought Pilate was a Christian at heart. And then legends began to appear later that told of Pilate's conversion. This is hard to believe, but in the Eastern Coptic Church, Pilate and his wife became saints. This bizarre history and legend of the man shows a certain sympathy toward Pilate. And I think it is because Pilate occupies that place before Jesus where many of us stand begging the question, what is truth? Pilate was earnestly after an answer. His world needed to be ordered in a certain way. The diplomatic emissary of Rome in Palestine could not allow a person going around claiming to be a new kind of king. It would upset the order of things. Kings want power. They want palaces and wealth and land. Kings have to have armies and enemies. Pilate would have been threatened by talk of Jesus' kingship without understanding his life, his gospel of repentance, of loving our enemies, of believing in a peace not of this world. The question this encounter asks of us is, do we accept Jesus as the truth? Before we turn our hearts towards Bethlehem's baby, before we get misty-eyed at the sound of cattle lowing and angel choruses, before we kneel again at the humanity cradled in Mary's arms, are we willing to orient our lives around this truth? God was in Christ, saving the world, upsetting the powers and principalities and the usual order of doing things. Jesus stands before the rulers of our world as an altogether different kind of leader. He reigns from the cross. His crown is of thorns. He gives everything he has to his subjects. He invites us to a new way of living that is characterized by suffering love for others. So today, in our age of relative truths, where no one claims to have the truth anymore, and our world where absolute truth claims wreak havoc and the slaughter of innocents, Pilate's question asks of us, are we willing to pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ as the truth-bearing King and Lord of all creation. Presbyterian preacher and writer Frederick Buechner has summed up Jesus' silence on the far end of Pilate's question by saying, "Jesus did not say that religion was the truth, or that his own teachings were the truth, or what people taught about him was the truth, or that the Bible was the truth, or the church, or any system of ethics or theological doctrine. There are individual truths in all of them, we hope and believe, but individual truths were not what Pilate was after, or what you and I are after either. Truths about this or that, or a dime a dozen, including religious truths. The truth is what Pilate is after. The truth about who we are and who God is. The truth about life. The truth about death. The truth about truth itself. That is the truth we are all of us after. It is the truth we can never put into words because no words can contain it. It is a truth that can never be caught in any doctrine or creed, including our own, because it will never stand still long enough, but is always moving and shifting like air. It is the truth that is always beckoning us in different ways and coming at us from different directions. That is the truth that Pilate and we are after. What is truth? Pilate asks. And Jesus just stands there in the silence between heaven and earth. And Jesus says, absolutely nothing, because he is the truth. We can, like Pilate, keep Jesus Christ at a safe distance at the far end of our unanswerable questions. We can define him as a ruler in the way we understand the rules, and dethrone him in the ways we are accustomed to changing our allegiances. We can relegate him to the pages of history, to an age yearning for a savior that appears to have passed. Or we can meet Jesus in person and invite him into our hearts, where Christ promises to rule in peace. Amid all the powers of this world, we can live as people who claim this truth. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we can give our allegiance to no one else by being his disciples, by loving and forgiving, by showing compassion and teaching his ways and extending his healing touch. Perhaps we should not be too quick to judge Pilate, for all of us have at times accepted and at times rejected the truth that stands before us in the person of Jesus Christ. Is there any wonder, then, that centuries after his death, they would begin to tell stories of Pilate and how he was finally converted and became a saint? Perhaps such a dramatic conversion can happen to us. And we can continually come to accept Jesus' answer to the far end of Pilate's question, what is truth? For Jesus says not one word. He just stands there, the living, loving, saving truth that he is. for all the world to see. Amen.